Thank the Lord that we can still report victory in our soul. Yet saved and mean to go on and mean to go through. Been so much said about the church, and I felt today the Lord gave us a message early this morning, and seemed like it's been dipped in so much today that I thought, oh well, it won't be any need. But the Lord said, go forth and do what I told you to do. So you pray for me. I surely need your prayers as we look into the Word of God. We thought, as Brother Sammons was testifying, how the Lord blessed him and healed his body, saved his soul. It was near the same with me. I had afflicted body, as you heard me testify, laid on a horse pill bed, in and out of the horse pill. The Lord dealt with my soul. And yet I had a profession out there in Babylon. But he helped me to realize I was not saved. But he was wanting to save me and did. And then after I got out of the horse pill, we had an appointment with the doctor. But after the Lord saved me, still under the care of the doctor, I got saved. I had an appointment with the doctor at a certain time, but before that day came, the Lord healed me. And I called the doctor's office. The secretary answered the phone, and I told her, I want to cancel my appointment. I won't be there. The Lord healed me, and I haven't gone. I've been very sick. But I haven't gone to a doctor for the healing of my body, for the checking of my body, or nothing else since I've been saved. Amen. And I guess it's around 31 years ago in 1956 when I got very sick on this campground with the typhoid fever. As we remember, it was quite severe. Remember, we were sitting by the middle of the tabernacle, and another one of the saints was sitting near us. All of a sudden, I just got so sick, I just wasn't hardly able to hold up my head, and the minister was preaching, and she said, you want me to call someone? I said, I just must go. They took me to the nearest cabinet. I was vomiting and so forth. And all of a sudden, it seemed like I could hear the saints praying for me. But it seemed like my tongue was cleaving to the roof of my mouth. I couldn't say a word. So they helped me get undressed and get in the bed. And after I had gotten in the bed, laid there a while, I said to the sisters that was in the room with me, I'm healed. And I know I'm healed. Praise the Lord. But we really had that fever. Left here to go to Pacoma. Our brother Wilson was here. I don't know if he's here now. But anyway, he said, all of you that was in Monarch in the meeting, typhoid fever, they want you to come down to the clinic. And see, I think we ought to cooperate with this. And if you've been there and the Lord heal you, whatever, go down and let them test you, examine, whatever. Well, I went down. I wanted to obey orders. I wanted to obey my elder and be faithful to the Lord. They examined me and they let me know that I was healed. And I said, thank the Lord. And then when I went to Oakland, where I live from the Tacoma, they had already gotten the news that I was on my way home. I don't know how all of this got out, but I guess it's because that year we was given our names and address and everything on a book here. And they had called where I live, where my sister and niece, and told them, said, where is Catherine Williams? They said, well, she's supposed to be on her way here. So we've been trying to get in touch. They were trying to get in touch with me before I got to Oakland. But each place they would call or put my name on the television or the radio in the newspaper, maybe I just left there. So they asked my sister, what shall we do to get a word? Say, we have tried the radio, the television, the newspaper. She said, oh, that won't help her any. He said, if you'll put it in the Bible. They put it in the Bible and she'll read it. They got so upset. But when I got there, they had them been out there and they said, now when she get here, don't let her in. Say, you just hand this citation out to the window. Say, because you'll get exposed to the germ. And she told all about the fever we had up here. So, well, they did let me in the house. But I had to go down in Oakland, go through this same test again. And they said to me, do you know that the people up there, the water was, how this germ and everything had gotten in the water? And did you know that they had typhoid fever? Did you know that? And I said, yes, I knew it. And wanted to know if I was here. And I, yes, but I'm healed. Well, and when I went in, it's just like maybe a lounge had been captured. You could hear my name all, here's Catherine Williams. So I obeyed them. I said, all right, I was ready for the test. So they found out that I was what you call negative or whatever. Didn't find anything wrong, but they say, we're going to take another test. And I told them I'd already been through the clinic in Los Angeles. Yeah, but we'll have to run you through here. So they took another test, said you could be healed of the fever, and yet you can be a germ carrier. And we want to be sure that it's no germ in your system. So they ran that test. And they said, well, you're all right. We didn't find no germ. They just released me. I said, praise the Lord. He healed my body and took away the germ. We serve a great God. Some of the things that have been said here that I just think, well, don't you know we are still the church of God?
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And it's still people standing the same way they were in Brother Warner's day. And I don't like for something, well, where is this and what are we doing? We are doing everything we know to trust the Lord, and the Lord is working amidst us. He's healing bodies, he's saving souls, he's sanctifying believers and filling people with the Holy Ghost. So what else could we do? What else do we want than the Word of God? I thank God for the Church of God. I'm happy. And I see God working today. Amen. Works with me, and I know he's working with you. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen. I love him today with all my heart.
Let him work.
That may sound like a funny sentence, but that's what the Lord gave me. Words. Sometimes we can talk too much. And sometimes you wish you had kept your mouth shut. If it's like me, I said, oh, I just wish I hadn't said nothing. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, we thank the Lord for the truth and appreciate the saints of God and those that we've been meeting on this cold, old campground for many years. Some of them gone on to their reward. But God is still being faithful to his church. And he'll be faithful until he calls us all home.
That's right.
God has a church at the gates of hell shall. And another thing I think we'll see it too much about here is the devil. The devil is here. You'll meet him there. You'll meet Jesus there too.
Yes,
he's there. I don't mean to testify for the devil.
Amen.
Because I know that God has power over the devil.
Amen.
The devil this and the devil is working and God is working.
Yes.
He sure is. Well, I don't mean to accuse anyone, but I just think we should say more about the Lord, what he's doing, than the devil.
Amen.
we got victory over the devil. He said, resist the devil steadfast in the faith and he'll flee from you. And I found it to be so. Well, over here in the 19th Psalm is something that a scripture that even children memorize. 19 Psalms in the 14th verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I believe the Lord is wanting to encourage us today. Brother Hargrave brought the thought about the family, and I haven't forgotten it, and I'm glad I'm in the family. But in the family, in our physical family, we always, in the home with the mother and father, they had a rule in their home. Mine did. And we must obey that rule if we wanted to stay in that house. Very old-fashioned back when I was reared up. But I thank God for it. So God has a rule in his church. The church of God. So we don't have, yes we do. This is our rule right here. The Bible is the rule in the church of God. And I feel if the Lord is wanting to encourage us this way, to be more careful concerning our words, whom we talk to, what we talk about, when and where. I learned this little motto years ago. 5 things to watch with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and what and when, Brother Beasley, and where. I believe if we'd watch it that way, we'd be on the safe side. So, words. Many people have gone to their grave with broken hearts because of words that were said that hurt so badly. A dear saint of God, there in the city, passed, maybe a couple of weeks ago. Her son, one of her sons, hadn't been to see her for 3 years. Right there in the city. Son didn't come to see her during her illness. Son didn't come to the funeral. And the grandson said to me as a call to try to comfort the family. He said, oh, I just feel so sorry that my grandmother had to die unhappy with a broken heart. I said, well, you can be assured her heart is not broken now. You can be assured that she is happy now because she's gone to be with Jesus. But that is a hard thing. Your child that you love just refuses to come see you. Words. Then I thought of another saint of God. This daughter told me how she died with maybe a broken heart. But it was because she made a mistake in saying words to her little son that had gotten saved. And he had did something, made a mistake or something. And she said to him, saints don't do that. He said, well, I'm not a saint then. So he just gave up the Lord. How much we think as saints need wisdom to deal with your children, to help them, especially when they maybe doing what they know to do the best they can to live safe. You don't just tell them you'll never make it. Son, daughter, yes, you made a mistake. Like brother here, that was a mistake. The word came out, but the Lord loved him and let him know, I still love you, still concerned. So let us, as the saints of God, just be more careful. I know this is a careful way. Be a little more careful is how we speak. And you know, I like to read about Jesus. I like to read in the many places where he was questioned about this and the other. It was always a kind answer. I thank the Lord for that. Sometimes he'd have to rebuke the Pharisees and Sadducees, but someone come to him for help. He was always ready to help. And his words, he would speak things that they couldn't understand. He wouldn't just use some high word or big word that they couldn't understand, but he would speak to them about things they understood. Like growing a garden, a corn, a planting a mustard seed. Praise God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight. Be careful, Catherine, what you meditate on, what you think about, because you keep that crowded down in your heart thinking so much. And one day it might come out where you rather it would not come out. For out of the abundance of a man's heart, the mouth speaketh. Another dear sister was thinking things maybe that wasn't so good. Right in the midst of the saints, it just came out, and she felt so embarrassed. She went home, oh, why did I say that? It was because it was in your heart, because you had meditated on so long. So let our meditations be pure. I believe they are saints. I love you, everyone, and I believe you love me. I believe our meditations are pure. I believe our words are true from our heart. Praise the Lord. Like to tell you of another incident, thinking of parents and the children. This man had a son, and he was very rebellious, stubborn, to the extent he was in his teens and wore a gun. Carried around a gun. He couldn't do nothing with him. So he went to a Christian school, and he told the principal what was happening to his son. He said, I thought maybe I'd bring him over here, and you could help him. So the superintendent said to him, have you ever prayed with your son? No. Well, I tell you, don't bring him here. You go home. And tonight at 9 o'clock, I want you to call your family in, your children in, and pray with this son in his presence. Let him know that you love him. And I'm going to be praying here at 10 o'clock. So then at 9 o'clock, when the time rolled around, he called his children in, companions. They got out to pray. He was praying for the other children, and finally got to George. That's the boy's name. Lord, I love George. Lord, I want to see George make it to heaven. While the father was pouring out his heart, not accusing the boy or fussing at him, but pouring out his heart to God, how much he loved him and how much he cared, and how much, Lord, I want him to be a good boy. I want him to go to heaven. While he was on his knees praying, George was there listening. George came up to the table and laid his gun down. Oh, does it mean a lot to use love? Oh, it means a lot to let your children know how much you love them. Whether they're saved or whether they're not saved, you love your children. You want to do all that you can to help them to get to heaven and train them up and pray with them and have counsel with them. We do this. We can't make them be saved, but the Lord said train him up in the way he should go. And he'll not depart from you. I'd like for someone to find a few scriptures for me. Proverbs 26:2. I hope we won't be here long to trouble you. You're tired or weary your patience. But the Lord laid the burden on our heart, and I felt like I didn't want to fail the Lord. You pray for us. The first one I want is Proverbs 21:2. Want the other one later down, 26:20-23.
Every way of a man is right in his own eyes.
Every man is right. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Read on.
The Lord honors the heart.
Let the words of my, what is it?
Mouth
and the meditation of my heart. Yes. The Lord, Brother Stubblefield, deals with the heart. But the Lord honors the heart. It's what we got there. I appreciate the words this morning. I appreciate the exhortations that followed, and especially our dear mother in Israel, Sister Margaret. No, Sister Kate. Don't mean to be personal, but we appreciate her. And I'm one that believe in giving flowers where we can see them and smell them. Appreciate her counsel. Appreciate her life. Appreciate her encouragement that she's been to the saints. I appreciate how the Lord saved me. I didn't have anyone to teach me to wear your dresses modest and your sleeves down and your skirts down and so forth. I was a very fancy dresser. But the Lord himself taught me. And I wasn't with the saints. I was still in Babylon. But when the Lord helped me to find the saints, you were dressing just like the Lord had already taught me. The Lord will help every honest soul.
Yes,
and as our sister brought it out, we appreciate it. But it's more than that we need in living for God.
Amen.
We need to keep our heart with all diligence.
Amen.
That's what the word says.
Amen.
For out of it are the issues of life. I thought about David. A lot has been said about him. When the Lord told Samuel to go down to David's house, not David, but Jesse, his father. He was going to anoint a king among Jesse's sons. So he went. So as he went and told his reason for being there, and Jesse had some of his sons to pass out in the front of him, and Eliab, I believe that's his name, isn't it? When he came in the front of Samuel, he must have been a tall, handsome-looking young man. And Samuel thought, sure, the Lord's anointing would be upon him, and he rose to get his oil to anoint him. But the Lord stopped him and said, look not upon his stature, neither upon his countenance, because the Lord have not chosen him. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Well, it had some more to come by, seven of them, I believe. The Lord hasn't chosen any of these either. Do you have any more? Yes. The baby boy, he's just a little old ruddy fellow. He's out there taking care of the sheep. Bring him in. For I will not sit down until I anoint him. When they brought him in, the Lord said, rise, glory to God, and anoint him, for this is he. He's just a child, so to speak, ruddy and dusty and dirty, but he has a pure heart. Thank the Lord. So we know the rest of it.
Do justice. And judgment.
Yes.
Is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
Amen. Thank the Lord. All right, someone find Proverbs 17, 27, and 28. We're talking about words, and the words won't hurt anybody. It's there for me, too. I want to learn how to use my words a little more kinder and tender.
He that hath knowledge spareth his words.
He that hath knowledge spareth his words.
And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit.
Praise the Lord. And the man of an understanding is of an excellent spirit. Read on.
Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace.
Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace.
Is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding.
Praise the Lord. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Did you ever hear about the story that we read as a child going to school? The birds was flying along, and the frog was down on the ground. And the frog wanted to get up in the air with the birds. And they let him know, said, well, you can't come up here. You don't have any wings. Well, I tell you what you do. You come down. We'll get it fixed. The birds came down to the ground, and he said, I'll tell you what you do. You get a stick. You put this in your mouth and the one in the other bird's mouth, and I'll hold in the middle. All this flying, and the farmer looks up, and he says, whoo, whoever thought of such a thing? The frog opened his mouth to say, I did. That's the way self is. See, he should have kept his mouth shut. Who would have thought of such a thing? I did. Yeah. Fell to the ground. That's the way self is. Always going to be boasting about something he does. Proverbs 15, 23 and 26. Hope we'll soon be through. Just a simple thought on words. Have you ever wrote a letter? I have. And I always reread my letter to see if I made a mistake. There's been times that I reread them and something I said didn't sound good to me and just tear it up. Have you ever done that? Words, didn't say the right word. My mother used to tell me, think twice before you speak. And then if you feel like you want to say something to somebody that, even if you want to admonish them, it'd be good to say them words over to yourself. Amen. How would I feel to be admonished with harsh words? The saints are kind.
A man has joy by the answer of his mouth.
The man has joy by the answer of his mouth.
And a word spoken in due season, how good it is.
A word spoken in due season. Kind. I thought about time that I hadn't been saved very long, and I was working for some very wealthy people. And this man, he was ill, and he had a nurse around the clock. And this nurse was Catholic. And oh, she was boasting about her religion and so forth. And I wanted to say something to help her, but I just didn't know nothing to say. But I asked the Lord, Lord, is there anything that I can say to help this lady? So the Lord brought the part of a song to me. And I said it to the lady. And it seemed like that got help to her, but it was just the Lord. I said, remind me of a song. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all this world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. She had to go wait on the patient, and she come back. She says, will you repeat that again? And I did. She said, will you write that down for me? And I did. But it was just the Lord. I was lost for words and so young in the truth. But the Lord gave me some words to help her out. Oh, if we can just wait on the Lord will help us out. Did you finish your scripture?
15 and 23, yes.
Yes. Read the 26th verse, or down to it.
The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord.
Yes.
But the words of the pure are pleasant words.
Read words of the... Is that 15? I think I got that one. Read the 26th verse.
Which one?
Is that what you read?
26th verse, right?
Yes. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure, thank God, words of the pure saints, praise the Lord, are pleasant words, praise the Lord. Then turn back, since you have it, to the first verse, 15 and 1.
A soft answer turneth away wrath.
Yes.
But grievous words stirreth anger.
Grievous words. Like to remind you of another story of a man. He got a telegram from his son, and his son was across the miles and needed some money. And his father couldn't read nor write. So he took this telegram to one of his friends. And you know, the Lord says, I believe it's Job says, he makes my heart soft.
Yeah.
The saints have soft words. It's just good to be in a saint's home, in the present, here on the campground. Everybody loving one another and appreciating one another. And just like I told you the other day, this friend of mine was so shocked that the white race and the black race could love one another like we cheat, could not understand it. But you know, that the color line is out. When we go under the blood of Jesus, the Lord just break the whole color line and we all one. No more Jews, nor Greek, bond nor free, but we are one. It's only one. And it's such a beautiful bouquet. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for the saints of God. Oh, don't you thank the Lord how you can just love one another, love me, and doesn't that make you feel good? Brother Salmon, it does. Praise the Lord. But in a way, this man took the telegram to a friend, and he had kind of a short voice. He said, well, I want you to read this for me. I can't read, but it's from the son. Yes. Dear Dad, I'm broken out of money. Will you please send me some funds? He said, why, no, I won't send him if that's the way you have to talk. No, I won't send him nothing. This will help us stay awake. I like to see you laugh. I'd rather see you laughing than sleep. A soft answer turned away wrath. But a grievous word stirs up. That was grievous to that man, Brother Beaver. So he took it home. He was so worried. Felt like his son needed money, but he wasn't talking right. So then he took it, old fella, to another friend. He said, "Will you read this telegram for me?" He said, "Oh, yeah." Same words. "Dear Dad, I am broke and I'm out of money. Dad, will you please send me some money?" Yes, that's better. That's better. But it was the same words, but in a different tone of voice.
Yes, my Lord.
Paul answered, "Turneth away wrath. The grievous word stirs up anger. Oh, Lord, let the words of my mouth. Well, I don't know what you're getting, but I'm getting some good to my soul." Proverbs 26 and 20. Proverbs 26 and 20. 26 and 20.
"Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out."
The fire will sure go out.
"So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases."
Now that's not Captain, that's the word. "But there's no talebearer." What is a talebearer? Does anyone have a good definition for it? Just speak it out.
Fuel for the fire.
Pardon?
Fuel for the fire.
Fuel for the fire. Fear of what the brother brought out this morning, gossiping? Make it burn up high. Is that what you mean? Dear Brother Chandler, and do you not know, we can talk too much and it can be true. And just carrying it around, we make ourselves. But we don't want to make ourselves a talebearer. Brother Chandler said something happened, and he was just talking on that so much till the Lord had to stop him. Said, "You making yourself a talebearer." And it was the truth. He was not telling anything untrue. But something happened, and just seemed like it was, he was so shocked, he just kept talking about it. Telling this and other. Let us not make ourselves a talebearer. We won't.
"As coals are to the burning coals."
As coals are to the burning coals.
"And wood to the fire."
Wood to the fire.
"So is a contentious man to him of pride."
Yes. Read the next one.
"The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly."
Yes. Now he said something there about contentious man. I believe in the Church of God, it says, if any among you seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the Church of God. Just seem to be active, quarreling and murmuring. And I wanted the brother to tell it the other day when he was talking about the children of Israel, how so many died, and they murmured so until the Lord just open up the earth and just swallow them, a lot of them down. The Lord doesn't like that. Being contentious and murmuring and quarreling and can't get along. We get along with one another. Yes, we do. Thank the Lord. "The words of a talebearer as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly." Oh, they can hurt so bad. But I thank God that he has grace for us to overcome. He has helped me. There have been times that rumors, I thought of one rumor got out and it was so untrue. And oh, how I cried. I went home and I cried and the Lord said, "Dry up your tears and prove yourself." That day to day, I've been trying to prove my life. to the Lord. Dry up your tears, Sister Margaret. I know it hasn't been sunshine all the way with you and all of these elders. And even, it has not been sunshine all the way. But God has grace for the wound. Isn't it over there in Job where he maketh sore and he bind up the wound?
Yes.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. I thank the Lord for that.
A tale is a fictitious story.
Yes. Fictitious.
It's not true.
Not true. Amen. Well, is there any more on that?
Well, the point third.
Read it.
Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross.
Well, I did look that word up, potsherd, and it said it's just broken pieces of vessel that's rotten and no good. But when a man has this, what verse is that? Burning lips and wicked heart is like a parched covered with silver dross. Sometimes that can happen, that one will be right around us and don't have the experience of salvation, and maybe he says more than anybody will get up and testify the long testimony. But if he doesn't have salvation in the sight of God,
it doesn't.
Just like a parched, covered up with a flowery testimony. It's like in the sight of God, it's like a tinkling cymbal and the sound of a brass. Lord, help us, and Lord, help me too. Be faithful to the Lord.
81:24.
All right.
He that hateth dissembleth with his lips.
Yes.
And layeth up deceit within him.
Read the next.
When he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart.
God help us. Praise the Lord. What does the 26th say?
Whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be shewed before the whole congregation.
Don't worry. The Lord will cause this thing to be exposed.
Amen.
Congregation, keep true and faithful to God. Do your best to show love to anyone like that and pray for them. The Lord will expose that thing and the whole congregation will be able to see it. A talebearer can break up a whole congregation.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, help us to be careful with our words.
Amen.
Proverbs 6:16. Yes.
These six things that the Lord hates.
Yes.
Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look.
A proud look.
A lying tongue.
This is why we dress like we do. We don't want to look proud, and we are not proud. What do we have to be proud of? We are thankful. Oh, yes, we are thankful for salvation. One sister got saved. At least she tried to. She thought she was. To show you how much the Lord appreciates a modest dress. She said herself, she was so busy trying to make her some modest clothes, and said the Lord spoke to her heart and said, you're not worthy to wear those clothes. She hadn't really paid the price. She really had not gotten salvation in her heart. But she started from the outside in, and that's not good. Let it come down in the heart and let it grow on out. I'll assure you, anyone that really gets saved, Bible saved, if you're 100 miles or 200 or 1,000 miles from the saints, if you'll be faithful to your soul and seek God, God will teach you. Oh, yes, he's faithful. He taught me. I didn't know if it was a saint in the world, so to speak, when I got saved. But the Lord and I'm not boasting about myself. I told the Lord, I cried, I prayed. I said, Lord, surely you got some people somewhere in this world that you have done for them what you've done for me. And I said, Lord, living in Oakland, if you got any people anywhere in this Bay Area that you've done for them what you've done, lead me to your people. And the Lord so wonderfully led me to Stockton. Stockton, California, but that rented out. I said, whom do you have it rented to? She said, the Church of God. She said, I said, what church? She says, they say, they are the original Church of God. Oh, that was sounding so good to me. And I had to be back to work Monday. I was working then, and this was Sunday. So I said, do you have any of their addresses? She said, no, we don't have any address. Some of you all might know Brother Dillard. Said, but we do have Brother Dillard's phone number. He's a carpenter. And he's been here doing some carpentering work for us. Oh, will you let me have it? I said, now, what about this church? What is it like? The men don't wear no ties. The women don't wear no jewelry. And they all dress so common. That sounds so good to me. I said, well, I called Brother Dillard. He answered the phone. I really wanted to talk to Sister Dillard. But she was ill. But we talked so long to Brother Dillard, the Lord touched Sister Dillard's body, she came to the phone. I said, I wish you all could come over here. I want to see you. And I told her, I'm looking for the saints. And this sounds good to me. And they said, well, we'll come get you. It's raining. And all they had was a little T-Mall Ford, and they couldn't get it started. So they finally called me and said, well, we'll meet you at the train station. So they did. When they let me out, my friend that I was visiting with there, they let me out at the station on the platform to go back to Oakland. And Sister Dillard was standing there with her back to me, but she was writing down some saint's address to give me. And at the back of her head, I knew she was a saint. She was dressed so modest and just looked good. So I just knew that was Sister Dillard, but I had never seen her. But anyway, the Lord, that's the way the Lord led me to the saint. She said, oh, there's something right over there close to you in Berkeley. Sister Graham. So I called Sister Graham, and I went over to her house, and she was just talking so casual. I said, I want to pray. I said, I want to go somewhere and get on my knees and thank the Lord for leading me to the saint. She said, well, see, I got an apartment downstairs. It's not rented, so we'll just go down there and pray. Brother Eck, we went down there and got on our knees, and oh, I thank God for the saints. And from that day to this day, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have always thanked the Lord for the saints. You're my people. Brother said the other night, I'm not going anywhere. I am. I'm going to heaven. But I'm not leaving you all. I'll be up there waiting for you. Praise the Lord. It's the only way I'm going to leave you is I leave to go to heaven. Heaven holds all for me, doesn't you? Finish your scripture, brother. What verse were you on?
17.
Yeah.
Proud love.
You know, proud, pride. The Lord gave me some thoughts some time back on that scripture over there. Is it Obadiah 3? The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And the thought that he gave me was hidden pride. See, in your heart, it's all hid down there. And he helped me to know how dangerous that is, to have pride in your heart, but to be so hidden down there. And sometimes we try to protect that pride. But don't do it. You need to expose it and get rid of it. Is any pride anywhere around? Like the man, maybe you've heard me tell about him. The revival going on, and the preacher was preaching about heaven and warning souls against hell, and said, if I die, I'll go to heaven. And he thought to himself, how would he know he's going to heaven? Who knows they're going? He just didn't like the way the preacher was preaching. Went home and told his wife, and his wife says, well, if I die, I go to hell. He said, now, here you are saying you, if you die, you go to hell, and this preacher saying he'll die, you go to heaven. So he continued to go to the revival, and one night he was so under conviction, he started to walk down the aisle. But as he put his foot out to go get to help his need, pride knocked him back. People, hear me today. Makes no difference if you've been saved 50 years and the word go forth and you find I have a need in my bosom. Don't let pride knock you back. You get the help you need. This is what the camp meeting is for. I've been quite surprised that we haven't had more altar service, but I appreciate all the Lord is doing for us. So pride is sin, and it'll drag us down to hell if we don't get rid of it. Don't hide it in your heart. Another woman had pride, when a saint, someone told me this. She had pride in the way she dressed, and she was dressing real modest. And she had pride in that. Oh, everything is so perfect. The color, the lid, and everything, the material, I'm dressed so perfect. And the Lord spoke to the heart, said, you got pride in your heart.
Yeah.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah.
A proud look.
Yeah.
Help us, Lord. We dress modest because the Lord tells us to do it. We love one another because the Lord tells us to do it. When we come together in ordinance service and wash feet and take the fruit of the vine, the Lord tells us to do it. There's nothing proud about it. We're just being obedient to the word of God. A proud look. Read the next.
A lying tongue.
Lying tongue.
And hands that shed innocent blood.
Innocent blood.
And heart that deceit, deviseth wicked imagination. Feet that be swift and running from mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren.
It says these six and the seven is abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren. We heard that this morning and I appreciate it. If you have an ought against your brother, go to him. You don't have to sow it around and throw it around. If you just go to your brother, then the word has you and him can't get together, take another one with you. You can't get together, bring it to the church. We need to do it the Bible.
Yes, amen.
Lord, help us. We want all our brothers and sisters to make it to heaven. And he says in the word of God there, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother have an altar against you, just leave your gift. Go and be reconciled with your brother. Then come and offer up your gift. Someone has been preaching on unity, and I believe on unity. The only way we're going to get to heaven is work together down here.
Amen.
Lord, help us. Behold how good and how pleasant it is, brethren, to work together. He that soweth a discord among the brethren. James 1:26. Let us be faithful, and while he's finding that, we'd like to tell him an experience. The sister said this. You might have heard her say it, so maybe I won't call her name. But in a way, one of the saints, she said that someone, she and another sister, she went over to the house and they were talking and so forth. And then another sister that knew about it felt like they were saying something that wasn't in order of the Lord about her. And he got back to her. And so she called this sister in question. She said, I heard you over at Sister So-and-so's house and you was talking about me. She said, no, I wasn't. I didn't say a word about you. He said, well, she say you did. Well, I'll go and straighten this up. I'll go and speak to her. Went to her. You know when I was here the other day, I didn't say anything when you was talking. No, you didn't, but you gave it this. You agreed. You bowed your head. You didn't say a word, but you agreed. So we have to be careful, Brother Samuel. How they agree with Lord help us. Sow a seed of discord among the brothers.
James 1:26.
Yes, I want you to read it.
If any man among you seem to
I have that down. I was going to call it. Thank the Lord.
You did.
Oh, did I? All right, read it.
If any man among you seem to be religious.
If any among you seem to be religious.
And bridleth not his tongue.
Bridle not his tongue.
But deceiveth his own heart.
Deceiveth his own heart.
This man's religion is vain.
Yes. Serving the Lord in vain. I don't want to serve him in vain, do you?
Amen.
This is a good Friday.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know of anything any better than the Word of God.
Amen.
Put a bridle on a horse to keep him from eating up the corn. We can put a bridle on our tongue and it save us out of many uncomfortable conversations and trying to straighten this thing up and going to this and then the other. Just put a bridle on your tongue.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, it can be done. And if it isn't done, sometimes you say, I wish I did.
Yes.
I wish I had kept my mouth shut. Amen. Going all of this trouble.
Amen.
Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you,
that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment.
Have we all thought about that? As the day wear on, and it come to the close of the day, have you ever, maybe you haven't, I haven't either, just had a tape recorder there to tape everything I say and go back at the close of the day and play it. Maybe some of the things that I said, I feel so bad that I said that. I didn't need to say that. But God has a tape recorder. He has a record. And he's keeping record of our lives, our thoughts, our words, everything. Over there in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and I believe around the 12th verse. Maybe we can read that before we sit down. Is it the 12th verse where it says, all things are naked and open before the Lord.
For the word of God is quick.
Yes.
And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Yes.
And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Right back to that heart again. It discerns what's going on down in the heart. Read on.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight.
Yes.
But all things are naked.
All
and open.
Things are naked and open.
Unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Praise the Lord. So it's no need of us try to cover it up. Because it's naked and it's open before the Lord. And he's the one that's going to be the judge. Lord, help us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. At the close, I have a little poem I'd like to read to you and me. The title of it is Idle Words. Sure, we're to talk, but I let our conversation be filled with love. Let our words be seasoned with grace.
Amen.
Idle words say nothing, though many things they show. They mar the beauty of the soul. Though once made white as snow. They leave a stain, a scar, a blot, when spoken by the fair, and add to the weary still another weight of care. The perfect man withholds them. The fool by these is known. It's by God's grace we overcome, we reap as we have sown. And two vain words deceive us. We count them little things, but like the crooked scorpion, these too have bitter stain. They are as feathers to the soul. They bind the things below. Their powers are towards God's purpose. Their power towards God's purpose Himself alone can know. They are as thieves. If we bid them come, they rob us of God's love. They make His presence flee away and take away our rest.
Amen.
The sun of time is sinking. Our journey soon will be over. Don't you know we're coming to the end?
Yes.
I realize I don't have but a few days here, but I want to close my life with victory. I want you to pray for it. I know the sun of time is sinking in my life. A few more days to be here, if any. The sun of time is sinking. Our journey soon is over. We shall reap them their emptiness, perhaps forevermore. Except the blood shall cover them, and they shall be forgiven. Then let us lay them all aside and press our way to heaven.
Amen.
Pray for me.